If you could just start, Stephen, by introducing yourself and explain a bit about your background.
Yeah, I'm Stephen from Cheltenham. I've been doing a lot of work the last year around the schools. Started with the secondary schools, which was probably tougher than the primary schools, to be honest with you.
But can you just explain a bit about your, where you're coming from, sort of professionally, or your education, or what kind of background have you got?
Yeah, I work professionally. I work professionally, kind of a mix between here and, and in London. And I do this somewhat in my spare time, basically. So,
So
yeah,
can
I
you
work.
tell us what sort of profession? What do you what's your thing?
I work in kind of finance and accounting.
Okay. Right. And what about you, Sandy? What's your background?
Dyslexic, troubled sort of education, done basic menial manual jobs most of my life, all self-employed.
Okay, so maybe you can start, Stephen, yourself. Is what is it that made you decide that you wanted to go to schools and lobby them about the vaccines? Or some people just call them a jab, don't they?
We can't really call them vaccines because they're not vaccines. They don't meet the legal definition of a vaccine. They don't stop the transmission, and they don't stop you contracting it, whatever it might be. So we need to stop referring to them as vaccines because they're not vaccines. They're jabs. If I'm perfectly honest with you, I could launch a tirade about what I think they are, but I'll try and keep it PC for the audience. I mean, look, I've kind of been switched on to what's happening since the start, and I think the biggest thing for me was the lack of informed consent. So even for the adults, most adults, in my kind of sphere of friends, they still think it's safe and effective, and have their trust in the science, and they're just not aware of what's actually going on. And there was no informed consent whatsoever. They weren't made aware of the risks. They weren't made aware of the clinical trials that took place in 2012 when all the mice died within 2 months using the same technology. There's absolutely no informed consent from the GPs or from whatever source of information people are taking it from.
Okay, Stephen,
And
so what have you been actually doing with the schools? What schools have you been going to, and what sort of reception have you had?
yeah, so I started with the secondary schools, and the leaflet there, I mean, I've got a friend called Saskia, and I think, Sandy, you know her as well. But she's a graphic designer, and she helps me do a lot of my kind of leaflets. So a lot of thought goes into these. The secondary school was more about the yellow card. So we had like a yellow card leaflet, which outlines all the injuries and deaths, just taken from, the official source, which is the UK government yellow card scheme. And I mean, even on there's over 2,000 deaths, 1.5 million injuries. We know that's an absolute fraction of the real number. It's probably 10 or 20 times higher than that. But just having that kind of in your face numbers, about the risks and, how the vaccines or the shots, I should call them, the jabs, they're in development. Stage 3 trials don't finish until 2023.
Okay, I mean, obviously you're targeting these schools. How did you get on? Because I would imagine most headmasters, headmistresses, and many teachers would feel it was a bit irritating having somebody coming around leafleting the schools when they are actually probably, really part of the program to get children vaccinated against COVID.
Absolutely. I mean, it was harder being outside secondary schools because you're dealing with the kids rather than the adults. So the secondary schools, it was a mixed reception depending on where you went to. Having to approach kids and speak to kids. The primary schools, I think, was easier because You're just speaking with the parents away from the children. You've got time to speak to them. You could find that 15-minute window before they pick their kids up when they're waiting outside. You know, you've got chance to engage with them and really engage with the risk reward side of it. So
how long have you been doing this for? And what give us a couple of stories of things, particularly in the secondary school, because you know these are young men and young women. They're not really kids anymore, are they? You must have had some interesting encounters with the young people.
Yeah. It was quite interesting. I mean, a lot of kids took to me. I'm not that old, so. I don't look that old anyway. So, you still get the accusations of this, that, and the other, and, you know, the inappropriateness of it all, which is always at the back of your minds. But, it was hard, but I think someone has to do it. And if not me, then who? You know, and giving them out to kids, telling, you know, you'd find some kids that are really enthusiastic and they'd take a handful and they give it to their mates. You know, you'd stand outside the bus stops waiting before the kids get on the buses, and then you can just hand out to the children as they get on the buses. And a lot of kids, you know, some kids were coming up to you and asking you for information. And
so did you find that any of the school authorities were trying to stop you doing that?
Well we refrained from being literally right outside the gates. There were a couple of instances where the police turned up, but they had no legal recourse to move me. You know, I wasn't breaking any law. I knew my rights. Some of the teachers got quite funny. And as you said, you know, it was almost like part of the program. You know, some of these head teachers were so on board with it all. And they just see some anti-vaxxer, as they like to call you, outside the school gates trying to give disinformation to the children. So, I mean, the truth couldn't be further, but... you know, it was hard, but certainly the secondary schools were harder than the primary schools. I mean, to be honest, I'm having a break from it now because I've done all the schools in Cheltenham. I've done all 31 schools, and I'm not really kind of doing it as intensively as I was like a few months ago. So I was giving out the information before they had even decided to give it to the young children. But we all knew that was the plan, to give it to the young ones. So having that information gave me a head start, gave me the time to engage with parents before the rollout happened, basically. So I went to all 31 schools around Cheltenham.
Well, that's amazing. And particularly because you're not being paid for it. I mean, you know, there are enormous lobbies. The pharmaceutical industry has got a whole army of paid people lobbying. Anyway, you're doing this in Cheltenham, and Sandy's also joining us, Sandy, aren't you, from doing the similar sort of thing in Cirencester. What got you interested in doing this, Sandy?
Well, I was cynical about the government before COVID hit. So the very first thing that I did was I went into the Office of National Statistics website, looked at their pie charts with regard to the average ages, did the average, which they weren't telling us what the average was, and the government wasn't telling us, and their official average age of COVID-related death was 82. Normal average age of death is 81, at which point you realise that this is not a threat to the general population. I then went online and I was looking for corroboration. And the only person I found corroborating me was Professor Sir David Spiegelhalter, Professor of Statistical Risk at Cambridge. And he got it out, managed to get it out on the mainstream media just twice, once in The Sun online and once actually on BBC Radio 4. And then he was shut down. And so that absolutely confirmed that that was it. And of course, typically, the government is omitting to tell us, therefore scaring us. And of course, it's all about scare tactics. And I'd just like to say something for Stephen. Stephen, I've been handing out your leaflet all this time, and I didn't know
these ones.
This one, yes, that's yes. The one. The absolutely fantastic leaflet compiler and maker. And this absolutely made my campaign. And I didn't know, Stephen, I didn't know it was a chap anywhere nearby. It was supplied to me by a wonderful chap in Stroud, who I know you know, Tony, called Richard House, who has a doctorate and reads a lot of material. And he passed it on indirectly to me. And as soon as I knew, as soon as I saw this, I knew I had a campaign, that I could campaign with this leaflet. So something's very special about Stephen is that you not only can write a campaigning leaflet, but then you can go out and actually do it, get boots on the ground and do 31 schools. And you've done those 31 schools before I was even out of the blocks, absolutely sensational.
I mean, I just want to say something
from the journalistic point of view, and that is the way this thing works. I mean, my encounters with journalists have been that there is quite a lot of sympathy amongst individual journalists for these kinds of, you know, sceptical ways of looking at the COVID jabs. The only trouble is there's a very powerful lobby out there from the pharmaceutical industry, which is pushing this stuff onto managers and editors at newspapers. And really the opposite point of view, which both of you two have been putting, doesn't have a very well organized, well financed way of pushing this under the noses of journalists and particularly of mainstream press. And so there's almost a kind of groupthink develops where these sorts of ideas are, you know, attacked by the pro pharmaceutical industry lobby, and there's a sort of reluctance to get involved in something because of the group thing. Anyway, Sandy, maybe you could just tell us about some of your experiences actually going to schools outside the gates.
Well, my attempts at doing the secondary schools were really limited to bannering. I didn't actually try and leaflet face to face, and I felt really bad about that. It is extremely difficult because you are approaching, in this case, often secondary school children. And I'm ashamed to say that I didn't do what Stephen did do. When I got hold of this leaflet, I then realised that we could definitely get on in the summer term with a primary school parents campaign. And I've done 23 primary schools, or leafleted the parents at 23 primary schools. And I've now starting to go back, and I've done, I've leafleted 7 again. And that really has covered the GL7 area from Lechlade, Fairford, the villages around Cirencester, down towards Malmesbury, down towards Tetbury. And I'm beginning to do a little bit of leafleting with Richard House and others over in Stroud and that district as well.
But Sandy, what is it that drives you?
Well, I think a sense of injustice. I have a sense of injustice and the disgust that inequity has got bigger. And of course, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely, in the last 30 or 40 years. I'm 64, and that does give you a benefit of being able to see things over time and look back, and you realise that post-war there was considerably more equity. The top social economic group was much nearer the bottom social economic group, and they were much closer, and therefore there wasn't so much. There was a huge opportunity for abuse, but there was less opportunity in a sense than there is now. And it's getting wider and wider. And as I say, power corrupts.
But surely, Sandy, surely the you know, these vaccines against COVID-19 have actually been tested, haven't they? And the government wouldn't roll them out if they weren't safe.
No, I mean, the government is... obviously, if you start looking at them, corporately controlled. So the likes of Boris Johnson and Keir Starmer, their parties are funded and supported by corporate interests. And of course, there's the famous revolving door with the senior civil servants basically going in and out and in and out of the opposite and opposite corporate. So in the NHS, its connections, obviously, with pharmaceutical corporates, with the MOD, its connections with military industrial intel complex, with the Treasury. It's obviously connections with banks and other financial institutions.
Well, what about, I mean, people might say, Sandy, sorry to interrupt you, but people might say that, you know, you're targeting children, particularly the primary school children, because they're vulnerable. I mean, that surely they're the people who need to be protected, not targeted by people like you.
Well, I wait until about 2:40 when the parents are coming in the afternoon, and I'm leafleting the parents, not the children. Usually I'm leafleting the parents actually on the way in now, not actually as they're leaving with their children.
And can you just give us an idea of tell us maybe a couple of stories about things which happen? Because not everybody has got the guts, to be frank with you, to go up and leaflet people directly about something so personal as a jab.
Yeah, well, it's that's certainly true. There are an awful lot of people who understand, you know, are watchers of the InfoWar. And then there are people like Steve and me, you, who are taking part in a more activist way. My basic spiel is, would you like a Dr. Robert Malone leaflet? He invented mRNA vaccines. He vaccinated himself. But he's got three reasons why he's urging parents not to get their children vaccinated or boosted. That's the sort of, if I have 7 seconds, that's my offer. If the parents coming past me very fast, obviously it's just, would you like a Dr. Robert Malone leaflet or would you like a leaflet? And I get anywhere between about 30% at the lowest to 90% take up. And it tends to be better the further away from the school you are, if there's a flow that you can actually get into as they're going to and from the school. If they're really near the school, you are more likely to encounter, obviously, teachers. And they're a distraction, they're a diversion. And, of course, they come out and they have a sort of a rehearsed spiel, which rather like my rehearsed spiel. But their spiel is, parents have complained to us, would you please, we respect your right to freedom of speech, but would you please leave? And if I don't leave and I just go on, they say, and we'll call the police. Now, there's a contradiction in terms there. They're saying they respect the right to freedom of speech, but then they say, would you leave? And we'll call the police if you don't. And my stop response is, I have a right to freedom of speech in a public place. And then I'm beginning to develop now a more sort of on the front foot response, which is saying, you're harassing me. I'm trying to get a safety critical matter over to the parents. If you obstruct that, you are actually becoming implicated in any form of maiming or death that occurs to children whose parents you prevented me warning. And you then become complicit in maiming or killing.
Well, it's interesting, so, you know, you're going through these, obviously you're having to have these conversations again and again. So Stephen, yeah, in Cheltenham, what drives you?
Much like Sandy, it's for me, it's just the complete lack of informed consent, and children aren't at risk. It says on the top of my leaflet here, you know, 99.995%, that's the survival rate for a child if they catch COVID. If it exists, you know, I think there's been what, three deaths of children under the age of 18 officially in the UK, and that was within 28 days of a positive test, which we know is fraudulent.
Are those children without you know, comorbidities or whatever?
Yeah. Three children without comorbidities, but that was within 28 days of a positive test. So they could have been knocked over by a bus for all we know. And, you know, the point being is that they're not at risk, and we're trying the whole process behind this leaflet. A lot of thought process went into this. Sandy, I can't take the whole credit for this, because my friend Saskia, who I think you know,
yes,
in Cheltenham, and she's the graphic designer behind this.
Terrific.
So she helped me do it, but obviously the content was kind of between the two of us.
Yeah.
But a lot of thought went into this in terms of, how do we get the message across to parents who are most likely being jabbed, okay, and they do see you as this typical anti-vector. So how do you get a message across that communicates the risk and benefits for their children.
Well, that's, I mean, that's a justified accusation, Stephen, isn't it, really? I mean, you are an anti-vaxxer.
Well, I've had jabs all my life, vaccines all my life, and knowing what I know now, I really regret having them all. Like, what I've learned in these last 2 years, I really regret having all those ones I've had. I've had pretty much everything apart from this one. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any kind of means. I am now.
Stephen, can you just sum up and explain where people can get hold of these leaflets and how?
Yeah, so they're online. If you go on to www.remise.com, Remise has posted them on his website.
So how do you spell that?
R-E-M-E-E-C-E, www.remise.com. It's in the leaflet section there. I can provide this to you via email if you want, and if you've got a way of sharing this for people that want to have a view, I'm happy to do that.
And Sandy Steele down in, yeah, in Cirencester, do you want to sum up briefly?
I mean, the response to you're an anti-vaxxer, I say I'm not an anti-vaxxer. The mRNA isn't a vaccine. So making that distinction there. So you
well,
learn.
Why do you say you, that? Why do you say that?
Well, a vaccine is either a virus or a bacteria which has been weakened or killed and then put into the subject. Whereas this is an entirely new and artificial system, which has nothing to do with traditional vaccination.
Yeah. Okay, well, so Stephen from Cheltenham and Sandy Steele from Cirencester, both Cotswold lads, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers.
Yeah, I could add one thing. I've got further subjects, which is election fraud, which I can cover with you, Tony. And I actually wrote a one-page manifesto, because I think everyone should be writing manifesto, essentially, so they have an idea of how our future should be. So election fraud is actually my speciality.
Well, it's a bit remiss of me, Sandy. I should give you the opportunity also to give a website if people would like to follow some of your work.
Sandy Steele, S-A-N-D-Y-S-T-W-E-L, gloss@gmail.com. You can send me any queries, and of course I'd be delighted to send you that leaflet that Stephen's produced. I can send you a copy.
Okay, so it's, you've got an email but no website, is that right?
I haven't got a website.
Okay, well, both of you, thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers. Yeah, well, thanks. Cheers.
Thank you very much.